to another level, which is beyond the game altogether, called reality, which is better than the game. The game can't even compare to it. If you can't, the Course says you can't jump from the game to awakening, from a miserable game to awakening. You don't do that. You go from a miserable game to a happy game to awakening. You go from a miserable life to a lovable life, then you wake up to whatever is next. So you don't have to skip over your kids' graduation. You still can get that home in Highlands Ranch. You know, you still can make that trip to Haiti. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's no sacrifice being asked of you. That was the path before this one. You don't have to give up anything. And anytime your mind tells you, well, you do have to give up one thing, pain. And you'll find out, much to your surprise, that there's a part of you that loves pain. Does not want to give it up. You know why? Because the pain is how you work off the debt of your sin and guilt. So you cannot take away pain from a person that believes in sin and guilt. A person that believes in sin and guilt believes they have to atone for their sins. And suffering is the popular method, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't it suffering?
Yeah.
So then that means there's a whole generation of people that believe that suffering is the way to healing. And if you try to get them to stop believing in suffering and sin before they are ready, they will attack you and they will be afraid of you. It will make you be separate from your relatives more than closer to your relatives who believe that way. The temptation will be, you're going to go and share all of this. And, you know, you just see them as innocent in your mind. And when you're around them, every time you get a chance, somehow or another you let them know they appreciate it so they can know more of their innocence. It's kind of sneaky. I admit it. It's kind of sneaky. You're going to be loving them behind their backs. Okay? You're going to be appreciating them, and they may not even be saying anything. You may have a totally straight face, but inside your heart you're going, let peace and love extend from me to you. Let love come into your life. Let peace. Because they're not on a level of consciousness that they can take a compliment directly and they'll just repel it. You've met people like that? That the hardest thing in the world to do is to compliment them or say anything nice to them or to give them anything. There are a lot of lousy receivers out there. So the easiest way to help people who are deep in fear and guilt is silently and through the way you treat them. Now, you'll be sent people, the Holy Spirit will send you, your loving messages will bring you those who are seeking you. Now, those who are seeking you at a spiritual level would be people who meet you the way you are. That's how you can tell when you run up on one of them. The way you are is quite enough. They won't need more. Except for you to be more you. It'd be great. Wouldn't it be great to be around somebody that wasn't trying to control you, but just was asking you to be more you? Which kind of gives you a kind of little bit of a dilemma if you have no earthly idea who you are yourself. And you're used to using other people to direct you and tell you what to do and give your life meaning and give your life purpose. And all of a sudden you're responsible for your own experience and you don't know what the heck to do with it, because when you're in the presence of love, it's never trying to control you. So now there's nobody to blame, doggone it. You know, I love this. It's so good. Now, Brother Aaron, what was it you wanted to say?
Oh man, right in the insight. Well, first, it's two parts.
Okay.
I want to know if I'm asking an honest question.
Okay.
And here's the question: can you see more about the difference between specialness versus preferences?
They're exactly the same. They're not different. A preference is specialness, but what's okay is for you to have them. But now, in terms of preference and script, preference and control. That's two different things. I can prefer that you fix me dinner, which is different from me demanding that you fix me dinner. So I can prefer that you come home on time. That's different from me demanding that you come home on time. But both of them are specialists, because both of them represent something that's more important to you than your peace. You know, because you still think there's got to be a certain thing, a certain way for you to feel good, even if you call it a preference, which is a good training. It's a great training step. I think from script to preference is great. But see, I keep forgetting what Spirit told me. Spirit told us that I can bring to you those who are seeking you. See, there's no sacrifice. It's a whole lot easier to have a good time with somebody who wants to be with you, who appreciates you, and who likes it the way you are, than to spend your time trying to be with someone who is afraid of you, doubts you, has suspicion about you, and doesn't know how to communicate and doesn't know how to join. The infinite intelligence of the universe called God knows what parts of itself fills that role in your life, because it knows all things. We don't. There's not a person in this room can tell me exactly to the detail what they're going to be doing 2 hours from now. So it's obvious that the us that's sitting in the chair isn't the us this book is talking to. Now, what the us that's sitting in the chair can do is learn new responses to what's being created by another part of itself. Does that make sense? In other words, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I can be taught the correct response for whatever happens in the future. So at our level of consciousness, what we're supposed to be learning is correct response techniques. We don't know what's going to happen. We can have preference, we can set a goal, but we don't know. And then the book says, well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. If you're ready, I'll tell you how it's going to end up. It's going to end up with you being in total fulfillment forever. That's the end. If you had to walk in at the end of this movie, you would have seen the end and it went, and we lived happily ever after. And then you would sit there and you wait till the movie started over, and then you would watch everything that the person went through to get to the ending where you came in. And you saw them ride off happily, right? The Course in Miracles has the audacity to say that's exactly what's happening to you right now. You made it. Everything's going to be okay. But what you are experiencing is what you went through to get there. Part of what you went through to get back to total peace and fulfillment was that was on July the 5th, at 12:35, you came into a room with a guy named Earl who said this class while you sat in a chair and listened to it. That was what happened before you were enlightened. You had a different relationship to time. It's kind of trippy. It's really kind of trippy. It's just like the movie Groundhog Day, which should be a required movie for all spiritual aspirants. No spiritual aspirant should ever not rent Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. Right? Because what happened? What was the premise of the movie?
He started
reliving the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And what started happening toward the end of the movie?
He learned to love.
How did he learn to love? What happened? Was he getting to the point that he could predict
everything?
He could predict everything that was going to happen before it happened, because what? It had already happened before, over and over and over and over. And some of you are real good at practicing Groundhog Day in your relationships. You already know what's going to happen as soon as you give them the phone, no? you already know as soon as you put your application on that job.